All right. Neither of us went to the Talladega Boulevard this weekend, but we're back here for another edition of Racing Hotspot. Devin Poslesny, Jordan Jenkins, here for another week of talking about motorsports from around the world. However, this week it was pretty straightforward. We got some New England racing here on the short track side of things, but also really everything else was in Dega. So,
yeah, pretty much.
Joining me via the phone this week, just due to scheduling stuff and all that, is Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
I'm great, Devin.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. So, yeah, we are doing this show kind of remotely. I'm headed over to New York tomorrow for a baseball game. Jordan's doing Jordan things, so this was the best plan for this week. Hopefully we'll be back together in person next week, but we will see. But, Jordan, how was your weekend?
You know, it wasn't as busy as it usually is. Definitely only had one. Had a track 2 days, but one of the days was just a practice day. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just jump right on into our short track Saturday. What were you up to this weekend? Like, where were you, and what were you doing?
I was at Star Speedway for our opener.
Cool.
I was there Friday for just practice day, and then we got rained out Saturday because, you know, Mother Nature's
not a race fan.
Been crazy.
Yep.
And then we ended up racing Sunday, so I could not end up going to either Lee to announce or the Napa Spring Sizzler. But honestly, I'm kind of glad I did not go to the Sizzler.
Why is that?
Let's just say they ended at 10:30 and started at like 1:30. They also ran like all their divisions because they got rained out Saturday too. But let's just say they wrecked a lot of stuff.
Gotcha. So Lee was
they didn't wreck a lot of Talladega, but they carried over to Stafford, I guess you could say.
So Star was supposed to run on Saturday.
Yes.
And got rained out, so they did the show on Sunday, and that's why you couldn't do Lee. Got it.
Correct.
Got it.
So and we still battled rain on Sunday, too, and it wasn't even supposed to rain in the first place.
Of course it wasn't.
But we got the whole show in, so that's good. That's always a good thing.
That is good. So walk us through, like, how did things go on Sunday with Star?
They were good. Lee ended up actually canceling two. On Sunday, because just another pop-up storm, and they were supposed to have the Grand State Pro Stock Series there, so we actually ended up taking the Crown Vic Cruisers off our schedule on Sunday, just so they don't interfere with Lee, because obviously Lee was running them too, and we moved the six shooters to first, and Lee had them last, but when Lee canceled, we added the Crown Vics back, so we had like a parade of Crown Vics coming into the pits, because we were running him now as originally planned. So, but it all worked out. We still had, you know, a good crowd turnout and a decent car turnout, all things considered.
That's awesome. Now, this was opening weekend for Star, correct?
It was.
Nice. That's awesome.
No better way to start the season off than battling some weather.
Hopefully that doesn't set the tone for the season. But that's awesome.
Hopefully not.
That's awesome. What event this weekend did you enjoy the most? Like, what race? What series? What got you excited?
I'm trying to think. Like, probably the six shooters. Not including the Enduros, they had the biggest car count.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Anything else you'd like to add to Short Track Saturday?
The Modified Racing Series opener is this Saturday at Waterford, and I will also be at Thunder Road on Sunday for race number two for the American Canadian Tour. Don't ask me why I decided to go from Waterford to Thunder Road, because I don't really know, but I did. I'm doing it.
opposite ends in New England, but we'll go to the
absolutely
going to the bottom on Saturday and then to the top on Sunday. Got it. All right.
We have more full-time drivers in the MRS this year than we did last year, so that's always good.
That is good.
Hopefully, the Stafford Wreck Fest didn't take out too many of our cars. I know at least one car that, or maybe two, that were involved in a big wreck at Stafford that were coming to Waterford. So hopefully nothing too bad.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's the last thing you want to see.
Yeah, season opener and you don't make it because of a wreck in a week prior. That's never a good situation there.
No, it is not.
So we're going to move. Anything else you'd like to throw on there for Short Track Saturday?
No, that's a pretty quick one.
Yeah. No, it's
not as busy as I really going to be, honestly.
Well, all right. So let's head down to Talladega. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Sorry, folks. So unprofessional to hear me yawning. But at this point, it is what it is. But Talladega, right away, already people, you know, there's always hype around Talladega and all that. We had the Xfinity and the Cup Series down there. The Xfinity race was probably the better of the two races. But it didn't end without controversy, which we'll get to. And that controversy, of course, being the time of the caution, yellow, and all this. And again, we'll get to that. But overall, I mean, I thought the Xfinity race was really good. Very racy. You had comers and goers the whole time, and it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, and lately it's short track, or it's not short tracks, super speedways. The comers and goers haven't necessarily been a big thing.
Well,
especially Xfinity, in the Cup, but.
Oh yeah, I was going to say that's more the Cup side. Xfinity, it's still super speedway racing to me.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, but I will say that, you know, the only race that we've seen so far at a super speedway, or a true super speedway, as Larry McReynolds called it, was Daytona. And Daytona was, you had good racing for the Xfinity down there, but also it kind of was a sit and wait, you know. And Fox also did a good job of showcasing how Daytona is, you know, I think it's 5 feet narrower than Dega. So, like, my point being is Daytona.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is it only 5 feet?
I want to say Daytona's 28 and Talladega's 33 as far as width. But regardless, Daytona's narrower than Dega. So I just wonder if when you go to Daytona, the Xfinity series just kind of plays the let's stay calm game. whereas with Dega, you have the extra room, you know, to be able to move and things like that. But regardless, I think the Xfinity series is putting on the better show out of the two on super speedways at this point.
Definitely.
So let's jump into this because there was controversy, obviously, around the ending. Everybody played mind their P's and Q's, got to the white flag. We had a bad bump down the back straightaway. Connor Zillich goes sliding into the inside retaining wall. Big hit. NASCAR immediately throws the caution once they determine, okay, yeah, that was a head-on impact and we should get a safety vehicle out there. They throw the caution basically entering turn three, and it's the field is frozen, three wide. You have Austin Hill up top, Jeb Burton on the bottom, and who is in the middle? It was
Jesse Love.
Thank you. I was gonna say it was number two, I believe.
Yeah, it was Love, Hill, and Burton.
So
Jeb Burton.
Jeb Burton and Hill were the two front runners. Love was clearly behind the two. And NASCAR, it didn't take long, probably 2 minutes most at most, and they determined that Austin Hill is the winner. And the reason why I kind of chuckled before I said anything more here is the camera angle
was not the best.
No, it was. I mean, CW is showing us what NASCAR is looking at, and you have a camera angle from probably the middle of turn three looking at the back straightaway. And then you have a camera angle from what I would assume is the roof on the front straightaway at an angle at turn three. And now I'll admit, I looked at it and I said, yeah, no, Austin Hill's got that. Because if you looked at like things on the racetrack, you know, the white lines, the cracks, the seams, like if you use suggestive reasoning, he's got him probably by a fender, you know. But it left so much room for the what ifs. And even Jeb Burton in his interview, and a very passionate driver, as he said, you know, doesn't have a lot of opportunities necessarily to win. He's looking at the replay on the big screen and he's going, we're ahead. I don't agree. But, like, that's just an example of how these camera angles are not, they're not a thing. They weren't great.
No, and that's usually, I mean, I say usually, but that's never the case where it's like, what is that camera angle, you know? Because they always have, you know, the best angles, obviously, for all this, and even some of them that, you know, that we don't even see on TV, but if that was for the three they had the review, then that's not that good.
No, I mean, and I, like I said, I think that suggestive reasoning got, like, using suggestive reasoning, they got the call right. You know, I think that, you know, you look at it and you're like, you know what? Okay. That's fine. But it just, you're right. It's like you're looking at this and you're going, really? We're making a call on that? Like, this isn't the race off pit road, you know, or this isn't oh, we need to freeze a caution, overtime's coming. This is the win, and you have a driver who is racing for a playoff spot in a car that's doing great things but doesn't have the same funding and or the same support as Austin Hill and RCR. So it's like, this is a ball and strike call, and NASCAR went with the ball just to make sure they didn't get the call wrong. Hello. He's still there, folks. But no, I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, I don't know. I don't really know how to, like, explain it, but I know it's a super speedway, but they've had, you know, better angles when they do stuff like this at Daytona. Yeah. I know Talladega is kind of, I think, big. Actually, I think it's, yeah, it's it definitely bigger than Daytona. But, I mean, geez, that was, you couldn't really even tell, like, who even was in the lead.
Right. I wonder if NASCAR needs to look into the technology that, like, soccer uses to determine offsides. And, like, I know that a soccer field's a little bit more contained. I mean, a soccer field could fit in the infield or the front straightaway grass at Talladega, just to put that in perspective. But, like, and you can map out a soccer field with you know, has however many cameras you need for that system. But like in a perfect world, it's like that's almost like what you need to have. This way, we can then visually see here's the moment of caution, and Austin Hill is this far ahead.
Right.
And again, I know that those systems require, you know, basically however many cameras to more or less create a digital map of the field or the ice or wherever it is to then constantly be taking photos, you know, to or capturing data. This way you can show this offsides in a soccer situation. And I don't know if you can apply it to a track that is 2.6 miles long. You know, and like, can you apply this to a road course? Like, I don't know if you can, but like, in a perfect world, that's what, in my opinion, would be the situation here. Because you're determining the end of a race and the finishing positions, and it's like, I get it takes a minute to review, and like I said, they did a great job of reviewing and being quick, I mean. And my personal opinion is they got it right with the, you know, suggestive reasoning and understanding, you know, okay, well, we're looking at it from this angle, you know, these dotted lines are equal, so you know what I mean? Like there were things that you could use as reference points to get that call right. But like, there shouldn't be any gray area in a decision like that. And I don't know what they could have done differently. I mean, do we just not throw the caution? Or do we go to like zone cautions? So like, you know, oh, we got a
Kind of like the
caution.
overtime line.
No. But no, but what I'm saying is like, is there a way that at these bigger tracks we can say, okay, hey, we're racing, you know, depending on where the accident is. I mean, this was the leader who got spun out, but depending on where he ends up, which he ended up on the inside on the apron, can there be something where NASCAR says, hey, caution in turn three, keep going? You know, like a sectional yellow almost. But
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know. Because I get it at some of these smaller, like in Atlanta, Zilch is going to hit that wall and fire right back into the racing line. Because it's narrower. You know, it's smaller. There's not as much runoff. So it just, I don't know if there is a quote unquote right or wrong, or a, sorry, a right way to do it. But I don't know. It's just you're determining if somebody's going to make the playoffs or not. And the playoff system has created such a stress and tension point and you know, financial backings and sponsorships and you know, all these things are dependent on if you make a playoff race or not. And NASCAR saying, "Yeah, we think we got this right." It's like, "Hold up. Hold up." I don't know. That's just my two cents.
No, I agree with what you're saying.
Such a tough situation.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I don't know. I don't know. It's, you know, we're being a dead horse, like, at this point, because we talked about it, what, like, the first
Four races.
2 weeks of the season, first 3 weeks of the season,
Yeah.
whatever it was with the 500 in Atlanta the week after, and so it was just like, now we're back to this.
Yeah, I
No better
mean,
way to put it.
yeah, I mean, it sucks because I think you said it perfectly. We're beating a dead horse, and I know that, not that I think any execs from Charlotte are listening, but they're, you know, they're gonna hear this, or even Daytona Beach, wherever NASCAR HQ is, you know, they're gonna hear this, and they're gonna be like, yeah, we know, we're working on it, you know, and I don't doubt that they aren't. You know, I don't think NASCAR is just going, nah, It is what it is. Like, they're constantly evolving. They're constantly changing. They're constantly trying to figure out how they can make it better. And, you know, I think that's true. So I think what you said about just quote unquote beating the dead horse, it's true. But at the same time, it has to be said. Like, I don't know. It just, I missed the last 10 laps. I was doing something. So I went back and watched it. And I was just like, okay. All right. And then I think the interview from Jeb Burton was what just kind of made me go, all right, we need to work on this, because now to a degree we're messing with people's livelihoods. And it's like, right, you create this situation, like NASCAR created this Game 7 moment that everything is based on. And when it's their decision to make the right or wrong call, we need to be definite right or definite wrong, not potentially a gray area. You know, like, that's, again, that's just my opinion on it, but it's like, you created this situation, putting a driver like Jeb Burton in this situation where he needs to win to get more sponsors, get this, get that, you know, and help him accelerate his career. NASCAR created those situations by doing what they're doing, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but then it's NASCAR's decision on whether or not he wins the race or not, in a sense, and it's like, that needs to be a black and white situation. And I don't think it was on Saturday. So, anyways, any other thoughts on the Xfinity race?
No, it goes back to, and go back to what you said about Jeb Burton, and he's not in a position to win every week. I mean, he's obviously a good driver, but, you know, it's super speedways are kind of like, you know, his time. I think, was it last year he won at Talladega, or was it 2 years ago?
I'm not sure, but I know, yeah, it's recent.
But, I mean, it's just, even no matter who it is, even if it's someone that, you know, is constantly up front and losing like that, is always, you know, tough. It's never a good feeling at all.
Right. Right. I mean, and I think that's another talking point, I guess you could say, is like how, like, I'm all for NASCAR policing and having rules and regulations and all that, but it's like, at what point does NASCAR just need to say, okay, go ahead, go race. You know, we'll be here to police if we need to. And I get it that we were playing inside the rules. I get it that, you know, these rules have been in place since, well, years now, but like, When the race teams agree to race in the Xfinity Series for 2025, it's in the rule book. You know, we're following the rules. But like, mm-hmm. My question is does NASCAR need to even be involved in that situation? You know, or is there a way, that NASCAR can be involved but not fully involved? You know, you're on a 2.5 mile long racetrack. You know, by the time that Zillage came to a stop, when the safety vehicles would even be released, the field was exiting turn 4, if not entering the trioval. You know, like, we're running so fast there that everybody cleared the area before he even hit the wall.
Right.
So, like, my question is, and I know this could then complicate the rule book, like, where it's like, okay, well, at this racetrack we do this, and at this racetrack we do that. But if it means that every racetrack is independently governed, I guess you could say, and it said, okay, well, hey, if he hits the wall and the field's already clear of any potential deflection back up into traffic, let him race or put a sectional,
right,
below, you know, or something like that. Like, I just wonder if there's a quote unquote better way. I don't know.
But I mean, you know, if it goes back to, you know, nobody wants to see the race end under caution and two. So, you know, we always want, you know, especially when it's a place like Talladega. I was about to say Daytona and Talladega together, but Daytona or Talladega.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always puts up exciting finishes year after really year after year. And, you know, anytime it ends on the caution, you know, it's always like a, oh man, kind of feeling.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because like IndyCar has the rule in place that says if there's a yellow, the race, like on the final lap, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no green, white checkered or overtime or anything. And they're like race fans are like a split decision on that. Meaning like some are like, yep, that's how racing is. We run 500 miles. And then some race fans are like, no, we need to finish this under green. Even if it means we run 505 miles. So I think it's like, I don't know. Nobody wants to see the race end under yellow, but at the same time, we don't want a decision to be made off of an angled camera lens.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But, anyways, moving on. Cup race on Sunday. Good. Honestly, I thought it was exciting.
Yeah,
it was pretty entertaining how Clint Boyer, Kevin Harvick, they picked off what the field was doing because with the gas mileage and, you know, how you had the Fords get up front and they kind of controlled the pace and it bunched everybody up. You know, that's why we had the 4x4x4x4. And then all of a sudden the Toyotas finally broke past them and said, nope, we got to go. And the field strung out. So it was kind of entertaining, for Clint and Kevin to be like, wow, this is exactly what just happened.
Right.
And it was like, oh my goodness, that makes sense. but yeah, so unfortunate, ending for Ryan Blaney, got caught up in an accident coming to pit road. Same thing with Keselowski and Busch. We didn't really have a quote-unquote big one in this.
No,
race.
That's why a lot of people thought, you know, Talladega wasn't that good. But I thought it was like an old, it had like a old-fashioned Talladega feel, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You know what it was, and this might just be me being a race fan and appreciating this. Is, yes, there was no big one. There was no crazy accident. Ryan Preece stayed on the ground. You know, like, there was a lot.
Ryan Preece stays on the ground at every track but Daytona.
That's true. But point is, well, what I was getting at was, it was still good racing. You know, I would love to see the people out there who are like, this race was boring. Go run 4x4x4x4 for 2 laps. Maybe mm-hmm. a 1 lap. You know, like, that was exciting to me. You know, although I understand they were doing the gas mileage thing and they may not have been 100% and all that, I get it. But, like, whether or not you're doing 100 or you're doing 75, you're still doing over 150 miles an hour, inches away from people, and all it takes is one brisk wind to come off of the hill in turn 4, and all of a sudden this car got loose and boom. You know, like, I think that people need to also keep that in mind. If it just because there was no wrecks doesn't mean it was a bad race. But I will also say that, you know, that long green flag run in the final stage made it so that, you know, you had drivers who were going to get lapped and ultimately helped Austin Cindric win the race.
Yeah.
You know, by getting the draft, and I saw some things on social media where they were like, those lap cars should have been out of the way, they shouldn't be out there, blah, 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 blah. And my first thought was, guys, This is racing. You know, in any game, you have factors that might not have, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But, like, that's what makes everything different. You know, like, oh, yeah. Aaron Judge shoulda, you know, he shouldn't have had that gust of wind come from home plate to right field to give him a home run. But he did, and the home run happened. You know, like, welcome to the world of sports in the sense of things happen that we don't predict.
Right.
So, I ultimately thought it was a good race.
I thought it was too.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Preece was right there. Unfortunately, got disqualified, but he was right there.
As did Joey Logano.
I was saying, Joey Logano got DQ'd as well. So
I forget what it was like for. It was like screws or something in the sport, like weren't enough screws in the spoiler or something.
I think that was Priest's, but yeah, Logano was like they're allowed two or three wedges or something, or two wedges and they had three or something like that. Like it was very, very minute in my opinion, but
yeah.
Enough for NASCAR to say nope. So I assume next weekend we'll get a, you know, Bob Pockrass will get a video of NASCAR's explanation of it. And then we'll be able to kind of get a better idea of why those guys got DQ'd. But, like I said, I thought it was a good race overall. Sure, there was no big accident. There was no big, oh my goodness, but the pack racing towards the end kept me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, might have been anticipating the big one, but like it still kept me on the edge of my seat. And I will admit that there was a point where they took the checkered flag and my first thought was, what the heck? but at the same time, it was kind of like, all right, you know what? That's how it happens sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, so overall, it was a good race, though.
I agree.
What are any other thoughts you have on the cup racing?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, I thought, like I said, I thought it was a good race. Definitely want to make it to Dega at some point.
Me too.
But yeah, so
I had a friend down there this past weekend though.
That's awesome.
He incredibly left.
So looking ahead, we got the NASCAR circus going to Texas.
Yay.
What are your thoughts going into that?
You know, kind of like Phoenix, you know, every time Texas is coming up, I don't really expect a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't seen anything, whether they're doing anything different with the track or tire or anything like that. I assume probably not. But, you know, I think, I mean, the truck races are usually pretty good at Texas. Xfinity had the Ryan Sieg and Sam Mayer finish last year. It's really, like, once again, the cup side that, you know, it's kind of like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there's something to the fact that Texas is not a true mile and a half, meaning, like, when SMI reconfigured Turn 1 and 2 to be different than 3 and 4, I think that it was a good effort. I think that what they were trying to do was change, like, if you remember correctly, folks, that was done in a time when mile and a half were all the same, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, another mile and a half. So SMI went out and said, okay, well, we're going to switch up our mile and a halves. You know, like Atlanta, the new Atlanta was built during developed during that time. You know, this way, when you were going to a mile and a half, it wasn't a mile and a half. Like it was, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. So I think that, you know, they came up with this idea and ran with it, and it was definitely interesting at first to see how it developed and evolved, but then the next gen car was kind of developed to make mile and a half racing better, and now Texas is not a true mile and a half, in my opinion. You know, you have one end of the track that is a mile and a half, and the other end is kind of like a Kentucky. And I think that because of that, now the car doesn't line up with that racetrack.
True.
So it, I don't think anyone's to blame. Like I said, I applaud SMI for trying to change it up. I applaud NASCAR for trying to make the mile and a half program better. And I think the NASCAR has done that, you know, going to Vegas, going to Kansas, going to Charlotte, you know, these mile and a halves are great, but for some reason, Texas just, I don't think it drives like a mile and a half. And because of that, NASCAR and probably the drivers are scratching their head wondering, what do we have to do to make this work?
Right.
So anyways, IndyCar's back this weekend. I want to say Formula One is as well.
I think Formula One is.
Yep.
So Full Slate Trucks, Xfinity Cup.
Yep.
Formula One. Formula One is not. Yeah. So Sunday at 4 p.m. Miami Grand Prix.
Oh, that's right. They're on the East Coast. Our
yes.
East Coast. That's
yes.
Right. That's right. Cool.
And then, actually. And IndyCar's at 1:30 on Fox on Sunday.
Yep.
The Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix.
Yes.
So Full Sledge, Truck, Xfinity, Cup, IndyCar, Formula One.
Oh, boy. So it looks like this show might be a little shorter than our normal one-hour mark, but next week we'll
MRS,
make up for it.
MRS at Waterford, ACT at Thunder Road. I mean, geez.
Hey, Louise. No, it'll be good. It'll be a good, fun weekend. Definitely check your local listings as to where and when you can watch the racing from around the world. Although everybody for the United States, at least everyone's here. So definitely check it out. Check out your local listings. See where we are or where everyone is. So, Jordan,
yes.
Jordan, any other final thoughts before we wrap up for this week?
No, I think that's it. I mean, like you said, it's kind of a shorter episode, but I mean, I didn't really have much stuff going on in short track racing, so that was a shorter segment. But really, other than, the angle at the Xfinity race and old fashioned Talladega for Cobb, there's really not many stories, I guess, like, but other than like Priest and Logano getting DQ'd.
Yeah, and even with Priest and Logano getting DQ'd, it wasn't anything, like, crazy in the DQ.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even think both teams are appealing, right? I know Team Penske isn't.
I haven't seen that in anything like that yet. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, to say the least, that it was definitely a quiet
weekend.
Yeah,
RFK accepted the penalty, and I'm going to look at Team Penske really quick. On one of the votes that was on, like, they also accepted the DQ.
Interesting.
So we can't really go in the next week saying, oh, they got their points back, because for the first time in really a little bit,
yeah,
the team, I guess, isn't appealing.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this week's episode. I want to say thanks so much for tuning in. Jordan, thanks for dropping by. Looking forward to next week. Looking forward to next week's episode. And, if you have nothing else to say, then I think we're good.
I think so, too.
All right. Cool. Well, Thanks for tuning into this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. We'll see you all next week after a lot of racing here in the United States. Have a great week, everybody, and so long.